Imagine walking through a farm with no tractors, no chemicals, and no plowing, yet witnessing rice yields that match or exceed Japan's most technologically advanced farms. This is the revolutionary do-nothing approach developed by Masanobu Fukuoka, a man who abandoned a promising scientific career after a profound spiritual awakening. His philosophy isn't about laziness, but about deep trust in nature's inherent wisdom, a radical notion challenging virtually everything modern agriculture represents. After witnessing the world with entirely new eyes during a near-death experience, Fukuoka realized that all the knowledge I had accumulated was actually a barrier to true understanding. This epiphany led him to create farming methods that work with nature rather than against it, producing abundant harvests while healing the land. His journey wasn't easy. His first experiment killed over 200 trees, but through careful observation and persistence, he developed techniques that have inspired sustainable farming movements worldwide. Our analytical approach to understanding, dividing knowledge into ever smaller fragments, creates the illusion of comprehension while actually distancing us from holistic truth. When we say, "I see the moon," we create a division between observer and observed that transforms our intimate relationship with nature into something distant. A child's direct perception reveals more truth than our scientific expeditions. Fukuoka challenges foundational scientific theories. Darwin's theory of evolution, he suggests, imposes arbitrary hierarchies based on human-centered logic rather than nature's reality. In nature, all living things depend on one another cyclically, with no grounds for claims of superiority. The identical structure of DNA across organisms indicates their fundamental unity, like islands that appear separate but connect beneath the water. These philosophical insights emerge not from academic study, but from decades of careful observation in Fukuoka's fields. When insects created holes in rice grains, allowing cross-pollination, he discovered natural hybridization occurred without human intervention, living proof that nature's wisdom exceeded human design. Our economic system operates like an octopus, with politicians and the military-industrial complex at its center, surrounded by 8 controlling tentacles: transportation networks, communications, economic information, education, financial institutions, information control, and citizen registration. Wealth accumulates at the center, fueling centralized authority at the expense of common people and farmers. Modern agriculture reveals this dysfunction perfectly. What appears as production is actually depletion of stored energy, creating an illusion of productivity. In America, rice farming once yielded 2 calories of grain for each calorie invested. Now, 2 calories of input produces only 1 calorie, a net loss masked as progress. This petroleum-dependent system means oil controllers effectively control the world's food supply. The environmental impact is severe. Flying over Somalia, Fukuoka found large ancient trees, remnants of once dense forests. Colonial policies had introduced commercial crops while banning personal food crops, reducing farmers to mere laborers. Arbitrary national boundaries disrupted nomadic lifestyles, destroying tribal grazing systems that had maintained the land for centuries. Perhaps our advanced agricultural systems are actually the problem, not the solution. Fukuoka's solution to environmental degradation is elegantly simple: revegetate deserts using clay seed pellets. These marble-sized balls contain seeds of diverse plants, trees, vegetables, grasses, legumes, mosses, and lichens, along with fungi and soil microorganisms, all protected by clay. When scattered across damaged landscapes, they create potential for new ecosystems. The clay coating protects seeds from predators while providing moisture and nutrients for germination. After rainfall, hardy pioneer species establish first, creating shade and windbreaks for other vegetation. Each tree functions as a natural water pump, its transpiration creating a microclimate that benefits surrounding plants. As vegetation establishes, it attracts wildlife that bring more seeds, creating a self-reinforcing cycle of regeneration. This approach has been proven successful in various environments. In India's Ganges River Delta, aerial seeding produced extensive mangrove varieties, while in Chambal Gorge's barren hills, clay seed pellets established vegetation where conventional methods failed. Unlike expensive revegetation projects dependent on scarce water resources, Fukuoka's method works with nature to generate rainfall through vegetation, becoming self-maintaining once established. During visits to the United States, Fukuoka discovered a natural farming movement exceeding his expectations. Weekend farmers markets delighted him. Vibrant gatherings where locally grown organic produce created community hubs for spreading environmental awareness. Even large-scale commercial farmers were adopting his principles. Revisiting Mr. Lundberg's 7,500-acre rice farm in the Sacramento Valley, Fukuoka found all four brothers had embraced natural farming methods. Despite barnyard grass throughout the rice fields, considered catastrophic in Japan's perfectionist agriculture, Lundberg's fields produced comparable yields. By marketing innovative rice blends at premium prices to health-conscious consumers, he proved natural farming could be commercially viable at scale. At institutions like UC Davis, Fukuoka found encouraging signs of change, with students pulling faculty toward organic and sustainable methods. His holistic philosophy, that understanding a single flower means understanding everything, and that religion, philosophy, and science form one unified whole, resonated particularly with young agricultural students seeking alternatives to industrial farming. The ideal natural farm integrates cultivated fields with surrounding hills and forests into a complete ecosystem. This diversity creates windbreaks, supports beneficial insects, and establishes microclimates that enhance crop production. Rather than burying organic matter, plant diverse species with extensive root systems that naturally soften soil and cycle nutrients. When establishing an orchard, use selective thinning instead of wholesale clearing. Leave cut trees to decay where they fall, with smaller trimmings piled along contour lines to create erosion-preventing terraces. Plant fruit trees along slope contours in holes enriched with organic matter and in raised mounds for better drainage. Grow companion crops between trees without extensive ground preparation. For rice cultivation, Fukuoka points to traditional paddies near Sukhothai, Thailand, as natural approach models. These systems integrate the work of farmers, beneficial plants, animals, and amphibians. Fish eat insect pests, while ducks control weeds and provide fertilizer. In Japan, Fukuoka demonstrated rice can thrive in rainwater dry fields using no-till methods, straw mulch, and white clover ground cover, yielding harvests comparable to conventional farming, while requiring less labor and no purchased inputs. Perhaps the most touching moment in Fukuoka's American journey came when he discovered that Harry Roberts, a Native American elder, had planted Japanese cedar seeds Fukuoka had sent years earlier. On his deathbed, Roberts had raised himself to plant these seeds, saying, "These seeds are Fukuoka spirit. Sow them carefully." When Roberts' students showed Fukuoka the 6-foot cedars and pointed to their teacher's grave across the valley, Fukuoka burst into tears. This moment captures Fukuoka's legacy as both agricultural innovator and philosopher who recognized the profound connection between human consciousness and planetary health. His methods demonstrated how working with nature rather than against it could produce abundant harvests while healing the land. In a world increasingly dominated by technological approaches to environmental problems, Fukuoka's message remains radical. The path forward isn't through more sophisticated intervention, but through humble partnership with natural processes. By sowing seeds in the desert, both literally and metaphorically, we can participate in the regeneration of landscapes and human culture, remembering our place as participants in nature rather than its conquerors.